So I'm gonna call this June 15th Siskiyou County Planning Commission meeting back to order.
Battery 100%.
Okay, moving on to item four, old business. We have the Timber Hitch Quarry SP22-01. Staff report, please.
Thank you. This is Bernadette Sazen, Assistant Planner. This project was previously heard during the May Planning Commission meeting. To recap, county staff recommended that the Planning Commission determine if Butte Creek Minerals LTD is financially capable to reclaim Timber Hitch Mine in accordance with the existing reclamation plan. During the May meeting, the project was continued to allow staff and parties involved to have the opportunity to come to an agreement of the financial assurance cost estimate and create a path to allow for the mine to be reclaimed. Staff coordinated a meeting which was held on June 7th in which all parties were present in person or via Zoom. The face and required contents of the face were discussed along with the significant increase in fuel costs and decrease in scrap metal value and the effect that would have on the cost estimate. All parties had the opportunity to discuss their concerns about the site access and the scope of the cost of the estimate. Staff worked to compile the information to complete the cost estimate to reclaim the mine site to the same requirements of SMARA as if an operator were to have to prepare the estimate. There were some difficulties in getting quotes for equipment removal, which did delay the completion of the estimate. The estimate was emailed to all parties and staff on June 9th. A comment from Mr. McMillan's attorney, Mr. Bugle, was received this morning, and a copy has been provided to the commissioners. To address the concerns in Mr. Bugle's comment, as I mentioned earlier, the scope of reclamation was addressed at the June 7th meeting, along with the expected increase to the cost estimate. The face is still in draft form and would not be considered final until it was reviewed by and found to be complete and adequate by DMR. Immediately after the May Planning Commission meeting, staff discussed with Mr. McMillan the requirements to become compliant, including a statement of responsibility form, a FACE and a FAM, a financial assurance mechanism, where these forms can be acquired, and the option to complete the statement of responsibility and provide staff with a FACE and FAM prior to approval, which could be increased or decreased depending on the recommendation by the lead agency and DMR after their review. Staff emailed the documents and links available online to Mr. McMillan on May 31st. As of yesterday, scrap metal was at $80 a ton here at our local yard. This is for scrap that has been processed and is no more than 1/4 inch thick and no larger than in 2x3 foot pieces. Staff called and emailed two scrap metal companies in Klamath Falls, along with North State Recycling out of Reading. North State was the only one that responded to our request to provide an estimate to remove the metal from the site. They did go to the site on May 31st and were able to provide a quote on June 13th. Sorry. As a new operator has not been established to take on the responsibility of the mine site, the operator of record, Butte Creek Minerals LTD, has failed to provide the lead agency with an updated financial assurance since 2015, nor have they provided sufficient information to demonstrate financial capability and filed for a certificate of election to wind up and a certificate of dissolution with the Secretary of State, which represents Butte Creek Minerals never incurred any known debts or liabilities. Staff recommends that it can be found pursuant to 14 CCR section 3815A. The operator is incapable of providing and has refused to provide a financial assurance deemed adequate by the lead agency. Should the commission make the recommended finding, staff shall notify the operator that the county intends to forfeit the financial assurance to reclaim Timber Hitch Mine, giving the operator 60 days to commence or cause the commencement of the reclamation. Should the operator fail to initiate reclamation within 60 days, The county will take action to require the forfeiture of the financial assurances, which will be utilized to conduct the reclamation of Timber Ridge mine site in accordance with the approved reclamation plan. The operator will be responsible for the cost in excess of the proceeds from the forfeited financial assurance. Staff recommends the commission find the operator is financially incapable of completing reclamation in accordance with the approved reclamation plan. Directing staff to cause forfeiture of the financial assurance for reclamation of the mine site and determine the project exempt from CEQA pursuant to 15321 enforcement actions by regulatory agencies, as it is a county-initiated request to consider reclamation status and operator's financial ability to reclaim the mine site. Should the commissioners agree, there is a suggested motion in the packet. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any comments?
Is that estimate 71,000? Is that the estimate from the North Coast? We have the final estimate cost of reclamation, 71,000?
Yes, so the $40,000 is the quote received from the recycler out of Reading. That's included in that cost. You'll notice that, I don't know if you'll notice, I'll explain. In the face, we have some set costs that you can see as the prevailing wages and the rental costs that we utilize standard required by state that we used. But because that estimate to remove the equipment was so high, it increased the indirect costs because those are percentages. And so when we add in that $40,000, that significantly increased those. So the initial estimate that we came up with, I think that was provided at the last meeting, of about $13,000. Once you added in the $40,000 and increased the percentages on the last page there, it went up significantly.
To what? To what? To what?
Oh, significantly, to the $71,000.
Yeah.
Any other questions for staff? Okay. Do you have questions, Commissioner Mello, at this time?
Not yet.
Okay. So I will open up the public hearing then. And let's start with public proponents. Are there any public proponents that would like to speak?
Seeing none.
Do you want to speak? Okay. So we have, you're Jack Williamson?
Yeah.
Okay. Please come to the podium and repeat your name and state your address for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Jack Williamson. My address is 18801 Beavers Lane in McDowell, California. And I did have some concerns that when Mr. Powell said that everything be legal on everything that was prior to this, is that everything's legal today, or everything going forward with the Timber Ridge Mine. We have a long history of being in lawsuit with Mr. McMillan. This lawsuit has been in for about 13 years now. Prior to that, we were in lawsuit for 3 years. Pretty much at the time we hit our property, Mr. McMillan had sued us. And during reclamation, there was a few things that was actions in reclamation that was not really legal for them to do, but it happened anyway. And I think the basis isn't just to try to get the mine cleaned up so that in doing so that it leaves the county the responsibility of cleaning the mine. But in one of the injunction that we had was to protect us from the McMillans coming out because of their non-compliance. And being under non-compliance is what the injunction's for. Also, the only reason that they can come out is to sell the mine or sell the mineral grant deed. Mr. Bugle, in his letter, said that we were trying to get the mineral grant deed without paying for it, but he neglected to say that during the time of this 13-year lawsuit, it was tried to be bought 3 times. And the last time that Mr. McMillan was alive, that we tried to meet with Mr. McMillan, his cost on his mineral grant deed started out at $9 million, and then it went to $6 million. So for him to say that we did not try to buy the mineral grant deed is a farce. And all we're trying to do is get the mine closed up so that we can do it along with the lots. And that's what I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Any other project proponents? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to project opponents. I don't see anybody in the audience. Anybody online?
Through the chair.
Yes.
I just want to make certain that we're not held accountable to read this into the record.
100%.
This letter.
The letter from Mr. Buchel?
Yeah.
Well, if I may comment, unless I didn't see it, if there's not a request to be read into the record, I don't see any requirement to do so. It is in the record anyways as a letter, so. And I believe the commission took the time to all read the letter during our 10-minute break. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see a request to read it. It is part of the public record and will be posted, correct?
Yes.
So I think we're good, but I do appreciate you bringing that to my attention, Mr. Dean. But I think we're good.
Is there a requirement that this should be in a timely manner? And who decides the timely manner to request that?
Well, technically, public comments can be received literally at the time of hearing.
Yeah.
So I can't be too critical of a letter that shows up the day before, but I understand what you're saying.
This is the day of.
Or the day of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
We
have to take it because of due process. But so with that, I'm going to close the public hearing and bring it back to the commissioners. I guess I have a question for council. I guess I'm struggling with what's the relationship. So the permit, the original permit was in the BCM. I don't have the exact name.
Commissioner, may I stop you for a
yes.
moment? Well, let me clarify. This is a little unusual. Because it appeared from our last planning commission, this might be semi-adversarial. I had concern about wearing two hats. Ms. Reed represents essentially the staff on this project. I am essentially a neutral advisor to the planning commission on this project.
Okay.
So, however you... With those roles in mind, I've not faced this situation before, but with those roles in mind, you can direct your attention to the appropriate attorney.
So would it be you then?
Let's bring Natalie up to
yeah,
the
mic.
Yeah, let's hear the question, because it could be a bill question,
it could
or
be.
Okay.
Essentially
I'm pretty
asking
sure
me
at least
is like
one
asking
of mine is
going
to be directed to you.
Yeah, yeah, thank you, Ms. Natalie, for joining. But so my question is if Butte Creek Minerals is dissolved as an entity through the Secretary of State, how does a new entity take over this permit? That's something I'm not fully understanding.
I guess that could be a question for either of us.
I mean, I can tell you under the corporations code that a dissolved corporation does continue to exist for purpose of winding up its affairs and
okay.
defending legal actions against it to dispose of and convey its property as needed.
Maybe from a somewhat different perspective, there is an application process in SMARA that if you want to become a new operator, you can apply for it, and that hasn't been done that I'm aware of with the county by the people who would like to, I guess, eventually reclaim the mine or take it over. So right now we have a dissolved corporation and we have no actual application in for new operator. I understand the status is that right.
Okay, so we have a dissolved corporation with the son being the heir to that corporation, so he's handling the affairs on behalf. Is that how this relationship works?
We don't have definitive information. It would be incumbent upon them to explain, you know, the rules that people are playing. But it's, I think it's the staff's understanding through Buechel's letter that the Sun is winding things up on behalf of the corporation. I believe it was conveyed to staff that the mineral deed is still held by BCM. So there was a failure to distribute, you know, assets to shareholders. And that's the limited information that we have. And obviously it's incumbent upon the operator themselves to provide us here today with sufficient information to determine, you know, the financial capability. And in staff's view, they failed to do so.
Yeah. And so other than, do you have any information on the shareholders? Was it just the husband and wife owned corporation?
All we know is what was in the election to wind up and the dissolution. And I believe the election to wind up was signed just by the husband and wife.
Because I guess I'm just trying to make sure we're dealing with the right parties here. Even though it is a son and an heir, just being a corporation, I understand different.
What is our charge here today again? Jeff had a pretty good chronological description last time, but what are we here to do today?
Miss Natalie?
let me answer that. That's probably more my answer. It's more directly, we have before us the Butte Minerals Corporation. Isn't able to financially, doesn't have the financial means to reclaim the mine, or has it provided a current base? And staff is proposing that it's a dissolved corporation, it does not have the financial means, and it has not provided a base. And therefore, that the county can proceed with the procedures under SMARA, which is give the operator 60 days notice to start the reclamation project. If they don't, then they can go forward and cash in, so to speak, on the bond, see how small it is, and otherwise start the reclamation going. So it's really a narrow scope. I tried to give you a broad picture, but basically you're trying to determine today, is the current mine operator capable of reclaiming the mine? Has it provided otherwise as a current and sufficient financial assurance?
And the bond amount was how much?
I think it was around $3,000.
$3,200. And the cost of reclamation is $71,000. And so who bears the difference between those two? Who bears that cost?
Well, unfortunately, if it is $70,000 and the county undertakes the reclamation itself, it's going to have to try to obtain a compensation from the last mine operator, which is the dissolved corporation. So
can the property be leased?
I don't know if staff has more developed answer to that. I may be jumping in too quickly.
And no, staff at this time does not know. Worked out if it undertakes the reclamation, the exact nature of how it will recoup its costs.
So Commissioner Veal asked this, I'll ask it. If we move forward today to definitively decide the inability financially to reclaim on the part of BCM, they would have 60 days to do it on their own, out of their own pocket, to the satisfaction of the county. If at the end of that 60 days it is not done, the county, with a positive vote to move forward today, the county at the end of that 60 days could then go in and reclaim it at whatever cost that ends up being 65, 70 days from now. Could, if it comes to that, could the county place a lien on the mineral right so that at some point in time, if and when it should sell, the county would be compensated back through the sale of that property? That's my first question.
Okay, I'm gonna address two different things. One is on the timing. They have 60 days to begin commencement of reclamation. It doesn't have to be completed within 60 days. And then on the issue of could we...
Before you continue, okay, so they have 60 days to start. Can we, as a commission, set a date finite at which completion must be done? Are we legally able to do that? So they have 60 days to start it, but we said, I'm familiar with the property. That should be done in 4 to 5 days. So I would say commence in 60 days, have it done in 65.
So I'm gonna look at
the... I'd be nice, 90.
The county code provides the operator will have 60 days to cause the commencement of reclamation in accordance with his plan. And we can require that reclamation be completed within the time limits specified in the approved reclamation plan or some other time period mutually agreed upon by the county and the operator.
So that mutually agreed upon is going to be the kicker, because then that could be held up in court for years again.
Was there a time specified in the plan? Because that was
it's
the first
passed.
Part.
Yeah, it was years ago. It was back in, what, 2013?
But there wasn't, like, once you reclamate, you've got 30 days or something like that? There it was
no.
An actual deadline?
No, date. It was not specified in the reclamation. Okay. And then I would anticipate that the county would explore leaning the mineral deed.
Okay. Question two. If it comes to the point where the county takes over reclamation in regards to the equipment, has there been a title search done to discover whether or not there are any liens against the equipment that is to be removed, i.e. they were listed as assets and borrowed against?
I believe the only information the staff has on the equipment is that it is not owned by Blue Creek Minerals and that it is owned by the family's trust.
So when you talk of mineral, you're talking just a gravel mine bit. You're not talking gold or silver. You're just talking gravel, right?
Rock quarry.
Yeah,
it's a
rock
quarry.
Yeah. And Rick Dean is nodding his head in affirmance for the record.
Correct.
Thank you. I have one more question back to this. In the staff report, there's a comment that says this... the June 21st, 2021, the Secretary of State issued a certificate of dissolution for BCM. The certificate begins a 4-year statute of limitations period for any claims against shareholders for received assets from the dissolved corporation's dissolution. This time period could be relevant should the county have to reclaim the mine site and seek to recoup its costs. Is that saying that we only have 4 years from that June 2021, so technically we've got 3 years left?
To the extent that assets were distributed to the shareholders, yes, the clock is ticking as far as recouping from those shareholders.
And that also includes the mineral if we were to lien it? We've only got 3 years to lien it?
Well,
let me answer. We would have 3 years to start proceedings.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so something that yellow flagged, I just heard the equipment that needs to be removed is under ownership of a trust, not BCM. So this kind of complicates removal, because if I've had North State years ago came up and back when scrap was worth something and did major cleanup on the ranch. I had to show clear title ownership of a 1950s combine before they would pinch it into, as you stated, the 3-foot lengths, loaded it in their truck to haul it away. I had to show title and ownership of an old 1968 International Forest Service truck in order for them to dismantle, load, and transport it away. So if this moves to the case where the county is responsible to do this, how do we show title ownership of the equipment where North State is not putting themselves in jeopardy for dismantling and hauling it off? It seems like we have a second party here beyond BCM if the equipment is owned by a trust. It complicates matters.
Another entity.
And I believe staff has considered that you may just have to remove the materials as opposed to
chopping them up. Bury it. I'd be facetious with it. It's all right.
Well, I mean, if the county touches that and it's not owned by BCM, aren't there potential legal ramifications there?
First,
it'd be one thing if it was BCM, because BCM is the name on the use permit. BCM is the name on the reclamation. The trust is not.
Correct. There are complications that the county will have to work out.
I will just offer, just out of the blue, perhaps it's just stating common sense, that the owners would be contacted and if we're asked about the rule of their equipment.
Okay. And is there like an eviction type process?
Now you're following my...
Yeah.
So, this is my next question. If this equipment is legally owned by an entity other than BCM, and this is not county, but couldn't Mr. Williamson then file trespass because his agreement is with BCM, not a trust? And so if somebody, John Doe, drove their pickup onto my ranch and left it, then I don't want it there, and they don't remove it, then I can call law enforcement.
Right.
Sorry, sheriff's department, but maybe we're still coming back to the county, but then the sheriff's department comes out and removes said equipment for trespass.
Right.
But that would be an issue for Mr. Williamson,
yes.
Not for the county in terms of doing our reclamation. So that would drop our cost because we'd simply be dealing with topsoil removal, leveling, reseeding.
Okay.
Am I wrong in that assessment, counsel?
I'll just add it's very problematic because we're dealing with private property owned by somebody else, and it opens up liability for us as a county to deal with that. Also, there is within the mineral rights grant deed statement in there that allows storage of equipment, which we discussed last time.
Right.
However, they're not in compliance. To get to that conclusion, I think, right, so they have to be in compliance with, we don't have an operator in order to have that privilege to store equipment on site.
But before you continue, that, what I have read since 1997, that authorizes storage of equipment owned by BCM. What you have said, and this is my limited legal knowledge, that equipment's not owned by BCM. It's now owned by somebody else.
That was what was represented to staff, and I'll let staff speak about that.
That's correct. We requested that information from Mr. McMillan, and he responded by email that it was owned by the family trust, and he would attempt to provide us with documentation, which we have not received.
It's purview of the...
Okay.
Chair, you're welcome. I have no problem with him coming forward.
Okay. Mr. Williamson, I see you raising your hand. Did you have a comment on this issue?
One comment is that...
Yes, please.
My name is Jack Williamson. I live at 18801 Beavers Lane, Mackville, California. One comment is that the mineral grant deed has already been leaned twice, or not twice, but by Mr. Bugle. That's where he's getting his attorney fees. And we have a list pendency against the mineral grant deed as well.
So it's...
So, and the other is that the mineral grant deed is also in the estate. It's not owned by BCM. It's in the estate as well. And one other thing, I think I forgot. We were under the assumption that the equipment was offered to the county for cleanup and scrap. Is what we were told. Because during the first reclamation, or the start of reclamation, Mr. McMillan had excess money in there that was given back to him because he had started reclamation. And so we had thought that the equipment was given to the county and Kate, not given to him, but was used if they had to do reclamation for scrap value.
I can add a little bit of light onto that.
It's okay.
With when Bill Menowar was going through the process trying to establish an acceptable face on the property, right? Mr. McMillan's proposal was in the 3,000 neighborhood. Bill's, I believe, was 26,000. At that time, Mr. McMillan went out and he had the equipment assessed. The report that he provided us was about $18,000. And he wanted to apply that into the equation with the face, right? Which we did not accept. It's not an acceptable piece of the face. So it wasn't given to us. It was proposed to be utilized as collateral, so to speak, to which we did not agree to.
Okay.
You see $18,000 worth of equipment there?
Depends on if you're a miner.
Well, if it was operable.
Old. It hasn't been used in 30 years. And mine hasn't been active for 30 years.
Yeah.
I've been out of compliance all the time. And the equipment is old. It's just processing plant is what it is. Grizzly's there, and the belt's conveyors, everything. I'm just talking about someone that has a small plant. It would be big and tied together.
Just one thing. You said Mr. Bechtel or Bechtel?
Bugle.
He's getting his funds from where?
From the mineral grant deed, from a lien. He has leaned the mineral grant deed. I think it's up to about $60,000 right now.
He's put a lien on the...
That's why he's here. He's afraid he's going to lose it. In court.
Which isn't meant to do with us.
Jeez.
Great, thank you. Commissioner Mello?
Mr. Williamson?
Yeah.
You said, sir, that McMillan was given money out of the trust?
No, he was given money back from the bond that he put up to reclaim.
From the bond?
Yeah. After he started reclamation. After he commenced reclamation, I believe he talked the county into giving him money back out of his bond, since he'd done so much reclamation already.
Ms. Bernadette, can you speak to that?
Yes. So, in the history of the file, the only refund, I guess I would call it, to Mr. McMillan that I located was it was years and years ago, I guess it was allowed, they did a cash deposit to the treasury, and that was returned to him and replaced with a bond. So the amount probably did exceed what the bond amount was due to the high interest rate, I believe, that it accumulated on that cash deposit, but that was the only refund I found. But then, again, like I said, the bond was established.
What's the shortest way that the county can dissolve itself of this entire issue? What would be the quickest and shortest way to wash your hands?
Those words don't exist in this case.
No.
So, not to beat the dead horse and repeat this, but if we approve this, they have 60 days to start. From what Ms. Reed mentioned, we do have the ability to set a date, but it has to be mutually agreed upon by the county, and in this case, who? Trust McMillan, the son, dissolve BCM. Do we know? Because, I mean, with the court filings that we have here, I think it's fairly clearly legally established that this younger McMillan has essentially assumed responsibility.
From BCM's attorney of record and from the declaration they filed, it appears that the son is winding up the corporation's business.
Okay, so we could, in our motion, propose a date for completion?
Well, it doesn't quite seem that that's the intent of the ordinance. It sounds more like a negotiation between staff and the mine holder. You could certainly suggest one. I'm not sure you could make a finding date by which...
It wouldn't necessarily benefit speeding this along to do that, is what I'm hearing you say?
Yes.
Okay.
And I got one more question. So, you know, the son, I remember from the last meeting that he said he was a licensed contractor that has his own equipment. Landscape contractor.
In Oregon.
He's licensed in Oregon. He's not licensed in California.
No, I think he said he was dual.
Dual? Okay. Okay, so he's dual. Oh, it does say I'm a California licensed landscape contractor. So, what's the he had offered to do the reclamation plan. What's the prohibition of him doing that again, just to kind of keep it out of the county's hands if he's willing? Is that something somebody can talk to as far as why he's precluded?
I can't. This is for my dad. So he has not signed the statement of responsibility, which is an agreement, and I have a copy of it. Actually, the clerk has a copy of it if you'd like to look at that document.
Please.
It's when a new operator takes on the responsibility of the existing reclamation plan. That would be his first step, and as I explained earlier, with that, they normally would submit a face if one needed to be provided, as it does need to be in this situation where it's their cost estimate of what that reclamation would be. In addition, they would establish a bond or a certificate of deposit that in the amount of or exceeding that amount. They do have the option to do that up front or wait until that statement of responsibility is accepted and approved by the lead agency and DMR.
Okay. So he's been provided this. He has not yet signed this, which is the first step. And then he would have to provide a bond.
Correct.
And then, okay.
And it was explained to him that... to expedite the process, he does have the option to set that bond up ahead of time, and once the approval happens, he can increase or decrease it accordingly with the review by DMR of the face,
okay.
The estimate. So if it needed to be increased, most operators will just add on a rider
Okay, and so what's the timeframe of this process? Would he, if, you know, say we were to move forward today and we're in this 60-day window, would he be able to sign this SOR and then start reclamation? Or once we move forward, is it now in the county's hand to do the reclamation? Am I making sense?
Right, so if you're saying if once, if you were to make the recommended motion,
yeah.
Correct? Okay.
I mean, yeah, hypothetical.
Could he come back and do that?
Yes.
He would have to do that in order to start reclamation.
Okay, and but I would it, if he's got that 60-day window, could this process be completed so we commence, can commence within that 60-day window? Or is this a long process that'll take longer than 60 days?
The statement of responsibility is not a long process. It's basically they're agreeing to it if the form is completed. I believe DMR normally takes 15 days to review if something's completed on that. They don't take that long.
And I'm just speaking hypotheticals on wanting to understand the whole process.
It would be the review and approval of the face and the fam by DMR that would potentially take the full 60 days, if not longer.
So if have you heard from him on if he's been provided the statement of responsibility, why he's not signed it? Is there is there like a reason, or is he just hasn't got to it?
Mr. Buchel asked during the June 6th meeting if he could potentially create a different agreement form to utilize, and we told him no, that that was the proper form.
So I assume there's some language in here they're not agreeing to?
And he was not specific to what that was.
Yeah.
But this SOR essentially is the template from BOR, Bureau of Mines and Reclamation, etc., that is used statewide.
Well, other counties have modified it.
Okay.
But I mean, that is the one.
This is basically the template with a few modifications. But he didn't give any specific objection to anything specifically in here. Simply said he offered to draft his own for his client instead of using this one.
Yes, and he alluded to that in his letter that we received this morning.
I saw a mention. That's why I was asking. You know, following the money, I still don't. I can't get my head around the fact that the mining, there's a claim against the mine that's paying this lawyer, right? And so what's the value of this mine? I can't mean this value of the mine is $6 million. What? I don't understand that. It's you would have to go through SMARA again, right, to reactivate that mine. You couldn't just go in and start removing material, right?
Correct.
So I don't.
I do not know the value of the product that could be removed.
Well, I mean, it could be something, but I'm just saying the process to go through the. Reactivate that. And it didn't seem to be rock anyway. It seemed to be mostly sand.
Right here.
There's a small aggregate there that has value for concrete and other things.
Got it. So, Miss Natalie?
Yes.
I have a quick question for you. So there's, in this letter from Mr. Buchel, am I saying that right?
Fourth paragraph down.
Yeah, fourth paragraph down, that first sentence. Does SMARA provide that statute, that PRC 2773.1C, etc. there? Is that, they're wanting to assume responsibility only for reclamation costs? Not any other terms in the SOR. Is that a statute that's allowed for or no? Or do you not know yet?
I mean, I can tell you what the statutes he references say. That has to do with if a surface mining operation is sold or ownership is transferred to another person, and then new financial assurances are secured from that new owner. I don't believe the staff is aware that ownership of the mining operation has changed hands, because the family is still indicating that BCM owns the mineral deed to us.
Okay.
If I am understanding that correctly, this would be something that would release the financial mechanism upon completion of reclamation. Would that be accurate? Yeah,
it just says that within 90 days of sale or transfer, the new operator shall submit an appropriate financial assurance mechanism, and within 15 days of the sale or transfer of the operation, the new operation shall sign a new statement of reclamation responsibility. But I don't see how that applies here, in the sense that we have not been advised that there is a sale or new ownership.
And frankly, if I may add, it's somewhat of a legal mess. We have a dissolved corporation that doesn't have any powers anymore to sell or transfer assets. And what was filed with the Secretary of State says, apparently, I think it's correct, all its assets have been distributed. So technically, it's very difficult to prove for a simple sale or transfer of the mine.
Okay. Just trying to untie this knot.
So, Natalie, I have a question. Motion to chair.
Yeah, Mr. Miller.
Down to the next paragraph number 5, 1, 2, 3, excuse me, 1, 4. Staff has been unwilling to allow Mr. McMillan to step forward and execute a statute assuming responsibility for reclamation costs only as provided with the SMAR statute, blah, blah, blah. We believe that staff has a great deal of discretion to get this situation resolved. How?
I think that's a question for Mr. Beagle. Or staff. Can you understand what he's saying?
What's he saying here? We've been at this for 6, 7, 8 years, somewhere in there.
Well, I think in reference to the above sentence, I think he wants the variation of this SOR where they only accept responsibility for the cost,
okay,
so that then the son could go in and reclamate, but without the other conditions set forth in the standard SOR.
Yeah, but then the bottom line says, Williamson must agree to each and every step in the process, which we do not believe is the proper role of the county.
But the county is the responsible LEA under SMARA now. With the changes that we've had, we are the LEA. It's our head. It's our responsibility.
Correct.
Yeah.
Could there be some order that comes out of this hearing that's going to be seen July 7th that would direct the county?
July 7th is a date that they're planning to have an injunction removed, so to potentially allow Mr. McMillan out of the property to commence work or whatever else.
But that's all it would.
So without having that injunction relieved, he would not have the capability to do anything on the property.
Okay, so what you just said, legally he cannot enter the property under the current takeaway action we may take today. Can't go on to reclaim as of today before we move on this action item. If we move forward with this motion today and begin the 60-day window, would he then on his own be able to come in and begin reclamation during that 60-day window?
Not unless he does this.
Or if he signs this SOR, then he could go in and begin to reclaim on his own? Or what mechanism do we have any ability to say, okay, we've started the stopwatch to begin, can he then, based on our decision, go in and reclaim it?
we are not involved in the property access issues between the surface owner and the mineral rights owner. So are your decisions, you know, here today do not impact that. That's between the parties.
Okay. Got it. So that's the other piece I remember.
Yeah, it's a civil situation between the two parties. Even if Mr. McMillan came in, he filled out the SOR, he's already ready to rock and roll and accomplish this. Yeah. That injunction in place, he would not have the ability to go on the property and do so. So there'll be a hearing on July 7th for the court to determine whether or not he potentially would have the ability to go on the property.
So if the court removes the injunction, then he could, should he so desire, go in and begin reclamation.
Yep.
If the court does not remove the injunction, then we all are basically at an impasse, but the county, it's basically, court says yes, he has the option to do it, likely the county will have to do it. Court says no, then by default, county's going to be responsible for going to do it anyway.
Yes. So if court says yes on July 7th, depending on when the 60-day range, so you have whatever, 28 days to go and accomplish again.
All right. I think what makes the situation kind of confusing, too, is that current Mr. McMillan has no formal legal standing in terms under SMAR in regards to the mine.
That's coming back to my first question. Are we dealing with the right?
I think the injunction was in place, but there was a court order to reclaim the mine. I think the court would very willingly amend its injunctive order for a formal owner of the operator to go on the property and reclaim it.
Miss Natalie?
And I think it would be helpful for staff to get clarification, perhaps from Patsy McMillan, who would be, from our understanding, the sole surviving shareholder of View Creek Minerals. But from everything that staff has seen in the declaration and the representations from Mr. Buchel, is that the son is acting as a representative of View Creek Minerals, you know, in winding affairs. But staff can look to get additional clarification from Patsy McMillan.
Although technically the affairs have been wound up according to the certificate filed by the Secretary of State, so it just, so the situation has just been.
So younger McMillan is winding up what's already been wound down.
My interpretation of it for the Planning Commission of staff and Ms. Reed have different interpretations.
Yeah, and I'm just going off Corporations Code 2010, which indicates a corporation which is dissolved nevertheless continues to exist for the purpose of winding up affairs and discharging obligations.
But legally,
it can't continue business in any way.
Right. So legally, until the reclamation is done to the satisfaction of the LEA county, the affairs have not been completely wound down.
According to the certificate of dissolution filed, the corporation has been completely wound up and is dissolved. That's on file with the Secretary.
So the reclamation really removes the removal of the equipment. You're not going to refill those.
Yes. No, you've got to refill. The reclamation plan, depending upon the quarry, when we were running our quarry, our reclamation plan included putting in a pond, and even though it wasn't going to grow, reseeding serpentine. But that was our reclamation plan. We did it. We created the pond. Vegetation grew around the pond. We reseeded the bare rock face. Well, we got a few weeds growing up there. But then we are reclaimed, it is closed, it's finalized, and boom, we're done.
So forget the equipment, there is some material, major cost in refilling those holes.
That's minor.
Yeah, it's minor cost, relative to the whole project, but there is approximately a half acre of disturbed ground needs to be reclaimed with topsoil essentially reseeded. And in those efforts of moving those piles, we've disturbed about 2.5 acres, which in turn also need to be reseeded. Satisfaction of fish and wildlife.
Okay. And so has any of this, one more question about this, has, you know, if Ms. McMillan, Patsy, is the sole living corporate member, has she, is there any formal agreement for her son to be doing this? Because I'm just thinking
like a POA.
Yeah, or any type of legal responsibility. I'm just trying to think how that would work because, you know, as I'm a corporation owner and I know how our organization works. My sons aren't a part of it. It's me and my husband. My sons don't come in until my trust, but that's a completely separate document. So is there anything directing from Patsy, her son, to be working on this? Because I still don't understand fully how, and maybe that's what you're getting at, how he can step in. I think that's where I'm struggling still.
So in the statement of responsibility, it does require that if the owner will be allowing operations to be assumed by a third party, there would be a letter of authorization to assume the mining operation. So Patsy would be providing staff.
Okay, so that would come if he did this.
Correct.
Understood. Okay. That closes that rule for me.
And I just want to make clear, staff did send notice of this hearing and other letters and communications to Ms. McMillan.
Mrs. McMillan. She was the initial notified entity, I guess, when the process started. So it started with Mrs. McMillan.
However, that letter was returned to us, as not received, to Mrs. McMillan. After that, Cliff McMillan, the fourth, contacted us directly to get respond. So, whether or not there's an agreement between Mrs. McMillan and her son to carry on affairs, it's official, you know.
Yeah.
But he has obviously showed up here on her behalf.
Understand that, yeah.
So.
But just from a corporation side, usually you have to have a designated agent. Like, I can't even have somebody sign a contract on my behalf or make agreements on my behalf as the owner of my corporation. So for him to be making requirements and requests on behalf of the county, I just don't see how that's allowed within the corporation unless there's this agreement, which apparently he hasn't signed. So that's,
I guess, not to make the water any muddier, but I'm in the boat with Commissioner Lindler. This attorney Bugle and young McMillan, we're dealing with them now, but the, as far as we know, legitimate past owner of BCM shareholder is Mrs. McMillan. And so if we move forward with this resolution, doesn't this need to go to the last living shareholder of BCM? But if what I just heard, initial correspondence was sent there but then returned as non-received, why are we sending this to young McMillan?
Just because he has stepped up to represent. That's all I'm saying. Did you have any correspondence that you sent that was received by her on return?
I received a green card back that it was received.
You did.
The certified letter that I sent.
Okay.
Okay, so it was received by Mrs. McMillan?
Correct. It was signed for, and so in our records, we have that she would receive the correspondence on behalf of Butte Creek Minerals, which would be notified of everything. So the notification for the 60 days would go to her.
Okay, so it'll go to her, and then the ball's in her court, not Bugle and Young McMillan. It's in her court.
She's designated Bugle representative.
We haven't seen anything. No, and that's my point. This attorney, every correspondence we've had letter-wise and when he was on Zoom last time, was in reference of his representing Mr. McMillan the Young, not representing Mrs. the elder, the last shareholder. So I want to make sure we're clear on that, because we have multiple things going on here, and we need to make sure the communication is with the actual shareholder of Dissolve BCM to start the 60-day process. Okay. Now, it's up to her if she shares that information with her son, and he wants to move forward with his attorney to try to do reclamation, perhaps to save his bacon because he's going to be out the money because she can't afford it. That's not our problem. That's between family members. But we need to make sure our communication is directly with the shareholder existing of Dissolve BCM.
And then she
would
can
direct. Would council agree with that?
I agree. To the extent I'm not trying to advise you or not staff, and that was kind of silly. I do agree that Mrs. McMillan is the identifiable representative of the corporation. She's the official contact, and this notice should. My opinion for the Planning Commission is yes, your comments are correct that you go to her.
No, he can designate him as an alternate, but she has to be.
There's a process to do that. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to change lanes here real quick. And in the grand scope of things, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. But in looking at I'm a farmer. I'm looking at the seed mix. Is this land irrigated?
No.
It's not. It's dry land where this is. So when I saw the request for seed from Mr. Cowley, and I see on here clover, and trefoil, I'm sorry, it's not going to establish unless it's irrigated, and if there is moisture put down, yeah, it'll establish roots, it'll be a one-time annual, and it'll die. There's no need for clover and trefoil. The alfalfa, yeah, you can dry land it, no problem. The others, okay, no problem. But I would personally remove clover and trefoil out of this mix. You're throwing money away. You might as well throw some dollar bills on the ground. That's my 2 cents.
How about start this?
It'll self-populate. You don't have to mix it in. It'll show up. Along with Marlahan mustard.
Through the chair.
Yes, Mr. Miller.
I just read through this thing that we got from the attorney this morning, and not one time is Mrs. McMillan mentioned it.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how did this boo-boo happen?
Well, he's representing the estate.
Yeah, but if she's still listed, I mean, still living, and was part of the original deal, and even if she agreed, I mean, was it a verbal agreement, or?
That's part of the mess.
Yes.
We don't know.
That's it.
Well,
because I got the impression that Mr. McMillan IV wasn't really interested in doing this. And he was kind of between a rock and a hard spot. That's my take on him after the last meeting.
So, doesn't it open when they list the successor to Clifton McMillan Living Trust? Would she be the successor to him?
Well, it's whoever in the trust documents, although McMillan Trust is not the mine operator, so it's all kind of irrelevant.
Oh, that's a personal thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a separate entity for BCM.
Like Jefferson Resource versus
that's why Danielle and I are we're dealing with BCM, not McMillan.
I'm just trying to find a way to say that he is representing her.
And that's not in front of us officially.
No,
no, it couldn't be. Right. They've got to do the legal process for either a power of attorney or whatever the case may be to give him the authority to represent BCM in relations with county. We're with BCM.
So where are we at? Would we want to move a motion?
Go for it. I'm going to go ahead and see if we can't move this along. Unless council has any amendments to the motion per the discussion we've had today, and I'm seeing the head shake no, I move that we adopt resolution PC-2022-013. Resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, determining the project exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act, finding the operator is financially incapable of reclaiming the mine site in accordance with the approved reclamation plan, and the county intends to cause forfeiture of the financial assurances for reclamation of the site Timber Hitch Special Project SP-22-01.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
So move.
Okay, let's see. Is this a voice vote?
No, it's roll call.
So this is roll call.
Commissioner Mello?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowle?
Yes.
Commissioner Veal?
Yes.
Chair Lindler?
Yes.
Can I make a suggestion that if we meet with this again, the staff does not have to prepare a whole new document that we keep this?
Yes.
Oh, you ought to see my file on this one. It's about this thing.
I got a stack
of all back. So motion carries.
So don't
approved.
Don't reissue. Don't have to reissue.
So the 60 days starts today, or when they get noticed?
No. When we issue the notice.
When they issue the notice. So with that, okay. Okay. So items for discussion direction, none. The next regular meeting of the Planning Commission is scheduled for Wednesday, July 20th, 22 at 9 a.m. Correspondence. Is there any staff correspondence? No? Okay. Any staff comments?
You were going to mention about the notice going to the use permit last month. Lopez Garcia Vacation Rental, the gentleman that called in and said that he didn't get the notice, but we determined that he actually was sent.
Right, so last month's meeting, the Lopez use permit, there was someone that phoned in, right, and they had mentioned that they didn't receive the notice, and staff double-checked, and we did
Was that Mr. Hawkins?
Yes, and we double-checked, and we did send it to him.
And great, thank you.
And it wasn't returned by the post office.
Okay, thank you for that.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Also, I think it's pertinent that we update you regarding Kitty Creek Orchard Camp. It's scheduled to come before you in August. There were some discrepancies found between a noise study and a traffic study. So we are recirculating the noise study promptly so that we will still meet that agenda.
In August.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the 17th.
Yes.
And are we going to do a different venue? Have we decided? I know we talked about it, but not sure.
I have not decided.
Okay.
Yet. I don't have a feel how many folks are going to show up.
Okay.
Mr. Fowle.
From correspondence from individuals with questions on Kidder Creek have really been minimal. It is not receiving the same community animosity as JH, nor back in the day when the Nash project was done. I've had maybe half a dozen calls or questions about it, not strong emotional opposition to it. So
that's been my general sense also. We have gotten quite a few comments from environmental groups and so forth about it and a few concerned citizens, but doesn't appear to be to the magnitude of the past.
I think from my perspective, there's a different feeling on this one because the county is actually the true LEA and in control of what happens there, as opposed to JH, where we have the complexity of the fact that when the initial use permit was issued, it was issued by the state and not the county. Well, the state's involvement in that operation, there's a different level of complexity of what the county can and can't control, so to speak. It's not a, Kidder Creek is not a complex project.
So Mr. Perlman, who does he work for the county? What department is he in?
Counselor, can we be doing this?
I'm just asking questions.
Comments, right?
It is comments, as long as you don't discuss things substantively. I mean, so far, just it's generally coming up, and we've had a lot of comments at that level.
Dr. Perlman was previously the health officer for the county. He passed away.
Okay.
His wife still resides there.
Okay. I remember that.
And they have a son, I believe, who's a chiropractor.
Yes, he's my chiropractor. Yeah. Now that my other chiropractor past the 85-year-old mark and no longer get my back to do what I needed it to do.
Got it. So, moving on, are there any other commission comments?
Questions for staff. Ms. Lyon, this is directed to you.
Okay.
Topic, Williamson Act.
Mm-hmm.
Question number one. Current What is the current requirement in terms of land use allowed to be eligible for Williamson designation? Originally, when it was first put in place, Timberland TPZ was eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Is TPZ Timberland still eligible to be classified or eligible for Williamson?
Yes.
Okay.
There's an exception. Sorry.
All right. So what's the exception?
If it's zoned TPZ, it is not.
Yeah. If it's zoned TPZ, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay. So follow down path B. If the parcel was eligible and proper documentation was properly filed each year for the Williamson surveys, historically for decades, under one ownership, and a piece of the ranch was sold to another individual, if it was designated as TPZ but was included under Williamson last year, but it's sold and this year it's under new ownership, it's still listed as TPZ, is it not grandfathered in, or can the county automatically say, boom, we're pulling you out of Williamson for this acreage?
That's
the question, because either it was designated as TPZ when it was under Williamson,
mm-hmm.
or it wasn't. And if it was, is it not grandfathered even if it is?
When you say TPZ, you mean the use is timber production.
Mm-hmm.
You're not referring to the zoning, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, so okay.
Correct. The use of it, because mm-hmm. this particular parcel, and I'll be fully honest, it's a former student of mine mm-hmm. from back in the 90s, and he bought part of the Burton place. And he called me because he got a the letter.
The survey, or the non-renewal
letter. Well, the non-renewal letter. Mm-hmm. And I know that that parcel, previously under Burton ownership, was Williamson land. But then he got a non-renewal, and I'm wondering why. How did that come to be?
So in the rules, the county rules for our Williamson Act contracts and our guidelines, it states upon the sale of a portion of a contracted property, the new owner is to establish a new contract. So new owners should establish a contract, number one. And when they do that, they designate the primary agricultural use of the property. So at that point, they could say it is timber production, is my agricultural use.
And that's still valid.
And I mean, it's within the guideline, timber production is an allowed agricultural use. If that did not occur, then it probably came on to staff's radar, because when they filled out their survey, it was a significant change from the original use that was designated on the original contract that's still in place, because as you stated, it runs with the land. So if it went from livestock production, hay production, something like that, and they did a significant change, they're supposed to do a contract amendment, which is an application process through the planning department, and it goes to the Board of Supervisors for approval for a new contract. We would create them their own contract with that designated use.
Okay, so for my information, when a parcel sells that is under Williamson, does the new owner receive notice from the county that they need to re-enroll or file with the county to continue under Williamson?
Because it runs with the property, in the past it has not been standard practice for them to send out any sort of notification. It is in, obviously, a title report, any encumbrances, which includes a Williamson Act contract, so if they did have a title report run. However, like I said, in the past, county has not sent out notifications. We are working on correcting that and sending those out to new property owners.
Okay, so they're, if they were not paying attention on the title search in the act of purchasing the property, potentially their first communication from the county that their parcel was under Williamson would be when the county mails this mails the survey, Williamson contract survey, to the new owner. And then if they've never filled one out before and they fill it out and it varies, which in this case, potentially I could see how the county would see it as a substantial change, because the original survey would probably list cattle, sheep, orchard, and timber. This one here all of a sudden is just timber, nothing else. And so that could potentially red flag it to you all.
Yes.
Which may be what occurred. And so the individual simply needs to contact you to clarify, A, it's still under timber production, if indeed that's what it is,
they would
to
need
resolve
to,
it, or
to do a contract amendment.
Okay, so they would need to do a contract amendment even though the use hasn't changed, if it's still in production?
So, I think I know exactly what contract you're talking about, but I'll just speak generally. A lot of these...
I'll give you the name. It was...
Mr. Costello?
Yes, Adrian. Okay.
Yeah, so it's the original contract was thousands of acres,
mm-hmm,
under livestock, a ranch.
Yes.
That was the contract. So the primary use is established what the majority of the property is going to be used for. It was never designated as timber. Timber is allowed as a compatible use.
Yep.
So it's perfectly logical that that would happen. Maybe there would be some grazing there, maybe not. But the established use is the ranch. So he has a portion of that ranch now, and it makes sense that it's only timber. So he would then, like I said, do a contract amendment to establish his own contract for timberland.
Okay. That's what I thought needed to happen, but I wanted to double check before I got back to you. Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. Did you have more questions?
Just for information, okay. I had a conversation with him.
I told him to call you. Good. Because I thought you would be a good individual to...
Yeah, I had to learn from Bernadette first.
Okay. So was that information that was just discussed here relayed to him then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. His concern primarily was because of the change and just the climate, whether or not the Board of Supervisors would approve it or not, and whether or not it was worth his effort to go down that path, because obviously there's application fees to get there.
Right.
Okay. I did also let him know that because it is an allowed use under our current guide, staff would recommend approval to the board.
Did you have more questions?
I did, but that was the one that was pressing. If I'm not remembering it, it wasn't important.
Okay. Chair Mello, or Commissioner Mello?
No, thank you.
Okay. So with that, I will adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.